Welcome to the Darth Runners podcast, presented by me, Alex, and Jamie over here. Hello, Jamie.
Oh, hi, Alex.
Hey, so this is the podcast where we invite listeners along on our Daft Running adventures. So we're up to episode 9 now, and we're covering a couple of races, and we've been rather slack in terms of releasing episodes. So we've got a couple of races that we've done over the last couple of weeks that we want to talk about. So the first one being the Craft Half, which is a half marathon with craft beers in Wimbledon, and also the Staining Stinger down in Sussex, which was going to be a marathon, maybe. But yeah, we'll get onto that. But in the meantime, let's start off with the first race, which was the Craft Half. So yeah, Jamie, was one we really enjoyed, right? I mean, I enjoyed myself anyway.
Yeah. So spoiler alert, I have to say it's probably the best half marathon I've ever done in my life. That was amazing. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it's I imagine that it's probably fun for you as well, because drinking so much while we went around, obviously drink responsibly, by the way, just before I put that in there. It probably numbed the pain of having to associate with me while you're running. So I mean, that's always probably a good thing from your perspective. But
I also appreciated it at the first start, where you just kind of ran off and I just kept walking and sipped the beer whilst, you know, pacing myself. I mean, I ran after you afterwards. I mean, just leave you out there on your own, because I mean, Wimbledon's a pretty wild place. I don't want to leave you just wandering. You know, the Wombles were about as well. I think there were about two or three people dressed up as Wombles chasing everyone, which, you know, luckily I don't think anyone was particularly paranoid after all the alcohol, but, you know,
it was quite surprising, actually. A few people didn't really understand why the Wombles were there, either because they were too young or because they weren't from this country. So I think both occasions was slightly depressing. But
can you be too young to know what a Womble is? I mean, surely it's still in pop culture somewhere.
I think so, Alex. I think it's passed out, out of kind of pop culture knowledge. Yeah, unless you're really old, like we are.
So ultimately, we need to reinstantiate Wombles into the zeitgeist. Is that still a word people use?
Yes.
It felt like zeitgeist was around like in every other like piece of journalism or blog post a while ago. Everything had to be part of the zeitgeist, and now I think Wombles need to be back in the zeitgeist. I don't really know what a zeitgeist means. I don't think actually any of those articles I read that used the word zeitgeist even knew what it meant. So
but I'm just impressed. I think you've managed to get that in appropriate context as well. So, I mean, brownie points for that. I think you've nailed it. Probably because you had some craft beer before we started talking about this race, which, again, it just works. It works, doesn't it? In training, you know, appropriate mentality before doing podcasts as well. It kind of really fits, and you start doing and delivering great content. So, yeah, big fan. Big fan of craft beer.
Really helps me connect my vocabulary and grammar. Yeah, you know, there are big pros to craft beer.
So I think we've kind of given this race a lot of kudos, but it is kind of half marathon. It was two laps, but you know, some really nice trail running around Wimbledon Common, finest craft beer in town, and I think you know, in terms of value for money in the races we've done previously, I know we talked a bit about, you know, the goodie bags kind of making up for value and, you know, having to eat a number of hundreds of caramel bars. I think this one, I mean, you know, they were really generous with the beer, and I know a few of the stops, especially at the end, I think they were very happy to kind of pass on some for us to kind of carry on running with. So, I mean, so it's really good natured event, really great weather. And I think, again, definitely doing it next year.
Exactly. And I didn't have to eat one single caramel bar that weekend.
So, yeah. Well, you know. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed about that, but that's just my thing with caramel bars.
Yeah, I also should sort of maybe highlight that, you know, that your use of the word "running" there may be a bit strong. I mean, maybe you want to put a couple of air quotes around that when we're taking the beer to air quote run with. It's more kind of. I mean, yeah, fair enough. You ran at the first checkpoint. You downed it and went for it. I was a lot more civil, you know, because
you sucked your beer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was about, savoring the different beers of the area, not about, dunking them down your throat and pegging it to the next one. I mean, what example are we setting for people by doing that?
That's well said, Alex. Yeah, exactly. You're completely right.
And, but the, I guess the issue with, because you also transferred to my method at the next stop, I think the one issue with that methodology is that, as you have, get onto your second and third beer, the sips take longer, so you do more walking. And ultimately, that means you're closer to the next beer stop than you were when you had your first beer. As you went on the race, it wasn't really, race was kind of a strong word to be using for this event. it essentially meant that you were just right at walking with beer, basically, and walking a little bit, maybe a bit swaying towards the end, because, the last couple of bottles we got were pretty big beer bottles, to be honest. Yeah. It wasn't your 330 mil size, was it?
Yeah, definitely. And I have to say as well, there's a lot of, I'd say science behind the different kind of receptacles you had. So some cans, I think, were pretty good. Bottles were difficult to run with because obviously the beer would fizz up in there. They gave you some in cups, which was kind of easy to drink from. So it was all kind of, very, very kind of quite a lot of judgment in this race in terms of exactly how quickly you'd run relative to what you were carrying.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I found bottles to be the best. I mean, after you drank down a little bit past the neck, then you could stop it with your thumb and comfortably pseudo almost jog. Whereas the can, it's sharp on the edge. You can't just plug it up your thumb. Even I think once I thought I'd finished the can of beer, I was running and there's still being little bits of beer coming out and just getting old beer all over my hands. So I'm trying to drink whatever's left and I can't get it. But it's all over my hands. What's going on?
Yeah. So who do you think actually kind of won the race? Because usually the quickest runner wins, don't they? Yeah. And I think we did actually see a few people run past the stops, which, I was slightly confused by. But so I think the person who came last probably won the race, opposite from the usual kind of.
I don't believe that was. Really taking the event seriously if you're just going to run it,
exactly. What do you do? Why are you here?
Actually, I'm going to look up the results. I mean, you got me curious. So the person who came first, who shall remain nameless, finished in 46 minutes, which for a 10K, it's not that challenging a 10K. It's got a bit of a hill. A couple of hills at the start, but there are worse hills in Wimbledon. 46 minutes, not amazing time. I reckon I could have done better than that had I been, trained. I mean, maybe that speaks to it. Maybe 46 minutes, and maybe he was actually. It was a he. Spoiler alert. Taking a few drinks. Maybe he wasn't being as. Blasé about the whole beer aspect of it as maybe some other people who were genuinely trying and still failed to complete the run in under 45 minutes.
Can you see who came last? How long did they take?
Page 2. Let's have a look here. Loading. Oof. The number of did not finish. Oh my goodness. Oh, I just realized that time was the 10K time. The half marathons are all mixed in, which kind of speaks to the seriousness of the event as well, I guess.
Yeah.
So last person, again, was a guy who came in at 4 hours and 3 minutes of the half marathon.
So absolutely, 100%, that guy nailed it.
Yeah.
He wins. Yeah.
Doing it right.
Yeah, fair enough to him. I think there's a few things that can happen during the race, which are quite amusing as well, I guess, there was one point we got lost a bit. I think a few people got lost. So the markings were generally quite good, I think at one point we'd basically followed somebody and went off into the forest or the woods. Obviously, it being Wimbledon Common, there's not really much chance of getting massively lost. So we joined the troop later. But I thought it was a nice little kind of sojourn, wasn't it? Nice little kind of rove around a bit.
That part of the common, it's kind of like, well, you have to kind of drift to the right anyway, and eventually you'll get to the start. It's hard to get that lost. But just found the winning half marathon time, which is 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Hey, wow.
Which, you know, is a pretty respectable half marathon time, actually.
Yeah, I can't imagine somebody who's capable of running an hour and a half marathon is also going to neck 6 half pints at the same time. I'm thinking he probably didn't drink as much as he should have done.
Yeah.
But again, that's his problem, isn't it? He basically came last.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly that. I mean, there's quite a lot of people around the 1 hour 30 mark. Oh, some of these are 10Kers. You know, respect.
Yeah, again, doing it right. So, I mean, what approach would we take next year? Would we prioritize the running or maybe?
Hang on, I've got something to raise here. I've got to, you know, hang on.
wait 1 second.
We crossed the line exactly at the same time because we were cheersing as we were walking over the line.
Hmm.
And yet, the results are showing that you beat me by 10 seconds. What is that?
Well, I can't explain it.
But if the same thing happens in the results for the Stinger, you know, I'm just going to smoke you at the Tour of Iran or whatever it is. So this cannot be allowed to stand.
Brilliant. It's like, I've got 15 seconds to make back up on you, Jamie.
Exactly. What?
I can't argue. Unfortunately, Alex, it's just the way the timing system works.
What is the point in teamwork when it just, you know, shafts you like this?
I have to say, also, they are noting, they didn't necessarily have, do they have recordings? I think they were noting people's names and numbers by hand, weren't they? I'm not sure if it was actually.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, it doesn't take 10 seconds. So, I mean, maybe to write your name because it's kind of confusing, but you know, maybe that was it. By the time we finished writing your name, it was like,
that's it. They were like, what? An apostrophe? Why doesn't he have a hyphen? Oh my God. Well, yeah, so what about Alex? I forgot about Alex. That's probably what happened. There we go. So actually, and just saying our finish time, is it a good time to segue into the next race, perhaps?
I guess that's.
You got more to talk about? Yeah.
I mean, the beers were good. I mean, I can't remember the names of the breweries because we carried on drinking afterwards. So, but I'm definitely signing up for next year. 100% would do it. I'm not sure what the rating system is that you use on the blog post is now because it's been a while since we posted one.
It's going to be 10 out of 10 for everything. In fact, I'll make up some categories just for this race.
Exactly. So, so following on from that race, I guess we realized how serious this was now, right? And we started training really hard, really seriously, really doing the training things.
I stopped drinking so much. Still quite a lot of drinking. Probably got a problem there, but that's a conversation for another podcast. Did some running, did some, which is good. So did a few runs, so this is a couple of weeks before the next race, and then I even started doing some Pilates. Did that some more.
You started doing it before, right? You know, with the dodgy shorts. Have you bought new shorts yet?
No, I've bought shorts which are shorter. So I've committed.
Just doubling down now.
Doubling down. So,
made a name for yourself there. You know, I've started, you know, going to a completely different gym just to avoid association.
we'll talk more about that in a second because you actually have genuinely gone to a different. but that aside, we are going to cover that. I'm known for this now. I've got my reputation. You either commit or you basically kind of retreat. And I've decided to commit. So I've got really short shorts.
Okay, great.
Isn't it kind of a thing like an Essex thing? It's like wearing short shorts, like clothes which are too tight. That's an Essex thing, isn't it?
I think you meant to do that with your t-shirt, not the shorts.
Well, let me work on my physique a little bit more and maybe we'll talk about that later. But yeah, Alex, you actually started training at a different gym, didn't you? So how'd that go?
Yeah, really good, actually. It's been the first time I've been to that gym in 5-6 years, maybe. Six years. The irons are better, but I'm still probably going to try and find a dry cleaner instead. They've added a whole bunch of new equipment, which is really quite snazzy. It feels a bit plasticky, but the actual, when you're kind of using it, it seems good. You know, they have like the bikes with, the exercise bikes have like little flappy paddle gear levers, which is quite funky.
Oh, nice.
And they've got these new cable machines that aren't cable to weight kind of levers. They're kind of like a whole weird cable thing. It's hard to describe it, but you know, you move the handle up and down the cable itself, and you can, you know, I was just using it to try like archery, like pulls where you pull your arm back of your, as if you were firing an arrow, which I obviously do like a whole bunch, but it was the only thing I could think to do with it. It seemed quite novel, and you know, there were other people in the room with me, so I wanted to look like I was kind of knew what I was doing, and it seemed quite an obvious thing to do with it, and I was like, yep, that feels like it's got weight on it. And then I put it down and went and used the free weights like a normal person.
Good stuff. And at what point did you hurt your knee? Is it because you used a different gym to me? That's why, isn't it?
I didn't actually. I started using a new gym after I hurt my knee. Let's just clear that out.
Is that?
Let's be clear. Between the two events, I went to the gym zero times. I never actually set foot in the gym between those two races. Possibly that could have led to my knee injury.
Yeah, so this is an interesting topic, actually, because, again, I'm guilty of this all the time. When you're going up in distance, and so you haven't really given yourself much time. So we went from a beer-drinking half marathon to doing potentially a kind of full marathon 2 weeks later. And, I went up to 18 miles from my previous longest run, which is about kind of 14 miles. A little bit of a jump. But, I thought maybe that's kind of... maybe pushing it about as far as I want to. I think, Alex, you went from about kind of 13, 14 miles to how like a full marathon, didn't you? You went to marathon distance.
Yeah, I mean, but that was like I ran for 16-ish miles, maybe a bit longer, and then walked for another, I don't know, 10, 12, something like that. I think I did somewhere in the region of 28, 30 miles. No, it's been maybe 28 miles, I forget.
Most
of that was walking. I mean, and I did stop for a coffee, and then also towards the end of it, a coffee and a croissant, a chocolate croissant. It was a really good chocolate croissant. But I was walking so slowly whilst eating said croissant that my watch actually was like, "Have you finished your workout now?" Wanting to stop. I was like, "No, I'm still moving. This counts."
I
guess fine a lot like on that day and a couple of days afterwards. It just, you know, it was what I think I was just walking around the house actually, and it was just like, oh, that's a bit twingy, and it's been kind of twingy ever since.
That sucks.
Mm.
So it wasn't because you stopped training at the same gym as me. It was because of just a natural kind of just an injury. Sorry, not natural injury.
It was a natural deterioration of my body.
Okay,
that's all it was.
Getting old sucks.
I mean, just to be clear as well, I mean, I didn't go to the gym at all during those 2 weeks, but I was jogging a little bit and stretching quite often. So yeah, I wasn't doing as much as I probably should have been, but I wasn't completely idle. So just, you know,
fair enough.
Cool. You know, shit happens.
Indeed. So maybe it's good to set the scene for this Stenning Stinger, which is coming up. And so this is a cross-country hill runner walk through the South Downs between Worthing and Shoreham by sea. And it's in its 18th year and takes place on the first Sunday in March. Now, it's called the Stinger because, and this is this is kind of quite interesting. Instead of using the word hills, they use stings. So there's apparently kind of two big stings in the half marathon, then four large stings in the full marathon. So the stings are the top of the downs. And from memory, we did this in, was it 2013, Alex? Was it 2014?
I think it was 2014. I want to say 2014.
Yeah, so I think either one of those years, I remember posting a really good time in the marathon and having a kind of really kind of revolutionary kind of life-enhancing, affirming experience in this and thought, yeah, I know, let's do this marathon again. Significantly less fit than I used to be. but I mean, I was still excited for it, but slightly worried, which is why we talked and we did a little bit of a discussion about the training we did in the lead up to it. But obviously, Alex, with your knee and obviously my kind of odds and niggles and so on, I think we decided to nudge back down to the half marathon, bearing in mind our race schedule coming up.
It was my first marathon actually, so and I really enjoyed it, and especially the biscuits. I was so hyped about the whole biscuit situation. I was very worried actually when they started emailing around before the race, saying they got Cliff Bar sponsorships and the rest of it, and they'd be using these Cliff Bars and blocks as they are, all around the course. You know, I mean, yeah, that's all well and good, but you know, don't forget about the biscuits.
Yeah,
it's quite a key thing. just to not have it, like, you know, people are very anxious now about were they biscuits or not. I'm very sure they were biscuits and pieces of Mars bar, or maybe Mars bar like, you know, supermarket copies. They were super tasty. I was very happy. And I checked, and it is actually 2014 that we did it last. So there we go.
Cool. So yeah, so thankfully there were biscuits. And I remember you saying actually, races, when we got to the first stop, and you were kind of, you were expressing how thankful you were that there were biscuits there. Yes, actually, I don't. Yes. Yeah, you were very happy. it's interesting. So actually, which made it a little bit more challenging as well, we had Storm Freya coming in at the same time. And I thought most of it was going to hit up in the north of the country and kind of in Wales. But actually on the downs, when we got to the top of some of the stings, the weather was absolutely atrocious. I mean, unbelievable. It's kind of the worst weather I've ever run in. So Storm Freya gave us a bit of an intense buffeting, should we say, which was really entertaining after it happened, but during it it was quite tough. I found it tough going anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I did really find it very, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, it's even just running at the top of the downs, not even thinking about am I running straight. It's more a case of I can't even, you know, hold myself upright for the most part. The wind was that strong, and you try and turn your face into the wind, and then it would just be like, you know, someone was maybe like a porcupine or something, just flung a whole bunch of needles at your face. It's like, it was quite painful, but that's kind of like some of the fun of it. It was like just that amount of challenge, and there was very little peril. I mean, it wasn't like the eye of a hurricane or anything. No, wait. The eye of the hurricane is supposed to be calm. Okay, the edge of a hurricane. Whichever part of the hurricane is supposed to be bad. It wasn't like that. It was just very windy, let's be honest.
Yeah, prickly rain is the worst. But, I mean, there's a few moments actually when I was running along and the wind would buffet me so hard, I'd lift one of my legs up and it would I'd accidentally kick my ankle. just because I'm a bit of an idiot, obviously. But I just had a kind of image in my head of the wind or storm of air going, stop hitting yourself, Jamie, stop hitting yourself.
I don't know if you've seen the image I got in my head there, but if you ever watched anyone play VR games, like on YouTube, you can find some footage of people filming VR footage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if one of the players takes their helm off, so, you know, in VR, you typically have like your headset, and then maybe some sensors on your hand controllers or whatnot. When people take their headset off, the sensors that try to work out where the head is in relation to the arms, and maybe if there are sensors on the legs as well, the legs kind of go a bit crazy because it kind of looks like your head is morphing into the body, and the entire animation on the screen just like goes all kind of crazy, and you know, legs are flying up everywhere and arms are spinning around the head because it can't quite work out where it's supposed to draw the head in relation to the other parts of the body. That's essentially the image I've got of you now running this weekend, Joe.
we should post the picture of that on the reverse report. this is how Jamie runs.
Artist impression.
And also, just think about the futures. Instead of having to experience that, we could I could just send somebody up who's relatively fit, and then I could experience that buffeting from a VR headset experience rather than having to actually do that myself. Maybe that's an option.
Whilst drinking out of your big gulp and eating bags of donuts.
Yeah, we could do one of those things they do on YouTube where we just video ourselves like shouting at somebody who's running.
I'm all for that, you know.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. Yeah. Okay, next episode done.
Exactly. We don't even have to train for that.
So, I mean, another thing to mention about the race is it's famously muddy at the start and well, actually everywhere on this occasion. So it was tough to actually finally get going up the hills. When you're up the hills, obviously the weather was really bad. But actually, it was there were some points in time where I honestly had trail shoes on, but I was sliding down with absolutely no control over stopping or who I was going to hit on the way down. It's an interesting experience to say the least. Yeah,
so you have to pull like a Silver Surfer type pose and just like slide down the hill.
I tell you, you are really good at going down hills as well. I have to say, like, I'm very rarely, well, I can't keep up with you going up hills, but sometimes I can keep up going down hills. But when my footing's unsure, I have absolutely no chance. You can absolutely skate it down. So very, very brave. Very brave. Fair enough to you.
It's one of the more fun things to do. I really like hills, going up or down. Yeah, and then the Stinger Marathon does have some really great ones. Yeah, like there's a part actually quite close to the end, I think maybe a mile or so from the end. I think on both the mile, because I vaguely remembered it when we did the marathon. It was also in the half marathon that we were, you know, unfortunate to have to cut down to this weekend. And it's a really nice downhill, very fast, some tight corners, and it's just a lot of fun to run down. And there's lots of space as well, because sometimes you have like downhills that are quite narrow. And you're kind of, oh, I might actually fall over the edge and die. That's quite a bad thing. Yeah. You know, it's quite nice and wide, and you can just literally just go for it. And the ground was kind of soft. So, yeah, it was uber awesome.
Definitely. And obviously, mentioned to Uber, we tried to get an Uber back because all the trains were down. And we got rejected by the Uber taxi driver, which is probably a good idea from their perspective. We were very muddy. But yeah, once we finished the race and kind of got inside this, yeah, you get a medal, don't get a t-shirt. But again, on the kind of subject of alternative race goodies, when you finish, get a cooked breakfast, which was which is pretty fabulous. Yeah,
it's a pretty good breakfast, to be honest. Yeah. It's not. I mean, let's face it, it's not like a bistro level breakfast. You're not going to get. It's like a Hawksmoor style breakfast. But you know, after running even a half marathon, you know, it's pretty awesome to get to have a really tasty cooked English breakfast. So good. Oh, yeah. Actually, one thing we didn't cover on the craft half, which I'm actually making use of now, you actually got a beer mug, a beer glass rather, pint glass.
Oh, nice.
When you finish. And yeah, I'm actually drinking, unfortunately, just water from it at this very moment. Yeah, take a listen. It's good glass action.
Nice. And have you run with it and tried drinking?
I haven't. Mostly because of my knee, I can't. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
I need to rest my knee. I can't be running around drinking pints. So I'm just currently utilizing it in a seated position. My knee is currently at around 90 degrees. I'm trying to keep it all kind of in line with my hips. I mean, every now and again, I kind of move it slightly out of position. But, you know, this is good. Good form, sitting here drinking out of a pint glass.
Nice.
It did have beer in it earlier. Full disclosure.
Perfect. So I guess, just to say, in terms of the times for both runs, and this maybe gives a sign of how tough the stinger was, but we actually completed the both races, the Craft Half Marathon and the Stinger Half Marathon, in very similar times, around the kind of two an hour and a half mark. So obviously one of the half marathons we spent most of the time drinking, and the other one fighting against the weather and not drinking. So yeah, that kind of gives you hopefully an idea of both great races, but in very different ways. Yeah,
most definitely. I assume the timings would be a lot more accurate about our joint finishing on the Stinger, though, because, you know, it was with chips, not handwritten, so they couldn't have got confused trying to write your name out.
Actually, you try and say something interesting. I'm actually going to check the course results, because that'd be really funny if I finished ahead of you again, because you were ahead of me the entire time. Wait, so we've got provision the results. So I'm just checking. There's a short half marathon. That can't be right. What's going on?
What do you mean a short half? What's there's a half? Because I mean, that was the other thing actually. How what's the typical distance, Jamie, for a half marathon?
Well, Alex, I think you'll find it's 13.1 miles.
Yes, I thought so. Yeah. Now we've talked about, I think maybe on one of our very early podcasts, about the events that kind of just lie to you and say, you know, you're on the 15-mile mark and there's 2 miles to go or something like that. And it's actually my watch tells me I'm on the 17-mile mark and I have 5 miles to go. I don't know, whatever. Whatever, the numbers don't add up. It's crazy. But this one, they kept the distance quite accurate for all of it. And then towards the end, it just like puts like, yeah, this is a 13.1-mile mark. It's like, hang on, then I should be done.
Yeah,
this is the half marathon. I'm supposed to be done now, and nope, there's still must have been about, I know, what do you reckon, about 400, 500 yards left after that.
Yeah, it was a fairly significant amount. Definitely an amount you don't want to be doing after kind of that kind of race, that kind of challenge. Yeah.
And obviously, because of my competitive nature, I was like keeping an eye on the exact distance and the speed I was going, and really aiming to, you know, fully, you know, be out all done by 13.1 miles. I was, you know, having extra stuff really set me back in my professional capacity as a runner.
Indeed, yeah. So the run, sorry, I couldn't help laughing at that. Not that I am in any way positioned to laugh, but I think we did about 21.83 kilometers, which is 2 miles. 1 second. So we ran an extra point, nearly half a mile.
Excellent. Yeah.
Which was great. But I've just checked the results for the half marathon. Glad to hear that I finished in front of you by an entire second.
Got jokes.
So, yeah, that's awkward.
That's whatever, man. Whatever.
That's pretty awkward. There we go.
I don't take this stuff seriously. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
I look forward to not seeing you for the entirety of the next race. Hey, Jamie, how do you feel about 30 minutes I put on you? Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I did beat you quite convincingly at the Hadley as well. So whatever.
Yeah. It did.
I got time.
I'm getting those seconds back one by one. Might take me a few years. We'll see.
No, I really don't care. I don't care. it
sounds like
maybe a little bit.
Cool. Okay, so we'll see Alex moving to another gym, just in case I follow him to that gym. So.
But I mean, you should check it out. It's definitely it's a lot better than the other gym that you currently still frequent, in my opinion. But yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll check it out. Thank you for the invite.
There you go.
Cool. So I guess another segue. So onto the upcoming events. We've got some exciting one coming up, I think.
That's it. The big deer stalker. Looking forward to that. The mighty deer stalker. Which had to be called off last year because of the weather. I guess the weather's looking kind of okay, you know, or Norse gods bestowing their grace upon us. So, you know, fingers crossed, weather holds up and we can actually take part in this year. Because, yeah, I really missed it last year. It's one of those events that's, again, I love because there's tons of uphills, tons of downhills. It also starts quite late in the evening, so it's quite a bit of it actually takes place in the dark, so you have to have your head torches. Reminds me, I need to make sure I have my head torch and batteries. I believe they've already sent around like a pre-event list to go through. It's really amazing because you're running up and down the hills in Alathian, and it's, you kind of look across the valley and you can see like the head torches snaking up and down. It's really cool. It's not too long either. I think it's like 16 miles or something like that. A fun course and a beer tent at the end, and we're staying relatively close as well, so we can just sort of saunter off to the B&B we're at, who were very friendly to us last time. And despite how muddy we were. And that's one of those things where you kind of have a shower and you look down and you're still muddy somehow. It's like, how is there still mud cut behind my calf or something? It's like, how have I still got mud on me?
I still have mud on me from the weekend. That's more personal hygiene, really, than mud.
I've had 17 showers and it won't come off.
I'll never be clean again.
We go. So, yeah, definitely really looking forward to that. And, yes, training. I'm probably going to stick with upper body stuff for a bit. You know, upper body stuff's important. Do lots of stretching and all that kind of not running stuff, which generally sucks. I did a bit on a bike, actually. Didn't seem to irritate it too much, but at the same time, it's like, don't want to chance it too much, because it's kind of one of those knee injuries where it feels kind of fine, but then I've been sat down here for a while. I'll probably stand up and I'll be like, that's a bit painful. And then 2-3 steps later, it'll be fine. So yeah, just rehab, I think.
Yeah, I think also upper body strength is pretty important for this race. From memory, and a few times I lost my footing and had to grab in mid-panic the nearest tree to stop myself from falling to my doom. So, you know, I think grip strength, really important. Yeah,
that's it. And then just in general, upper body to do your kind of like weird pull-up that's on a near vertical hill.
It's surprising how strong you can be in a situation like that, but you want to train for it. You don't want to leave it to chance. train for that grip strength.
This feels like the place where we'd put in a montage.
Cool. So I guess next episode we'll be doing an update on the race and how we found it, or we might do another one. I guess if we do some fantastic training, I don't know, Alex, you and Neil. Miraculously could have hills and then you go out and get some more chocolate croissants on your journey.
That's it, and put some montages up. That'd be good. It is pancake day today, so I've been working hard with pancakes, maple syrup, and also the classic lemon and sugar.
Nice.
Yeah. Keeping it real.
Chocolate this morning. Pancakes, chocolate.
Good work.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Cool. But I think that's about it, right? We'll wrap it up there.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you know, you can reach us at darthrunners.com. If you want to get in touch, podcast@darthrunners.com is the email address where you can ping us your feedback. And we'll catch you next time. Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.